It was March 30th, 1979, when I first laid eyes on them as I was born. But these folks are not only my parents, but I would say the greatest example I've ever seen of being passionate for souls. They ministered this morning, and you can just see that it oozes out of my dad. And like I said before, they come to Madison and they leave, and I have a list of people I have to follow up with that they've talked to at the hotel, at the restaurant. And it's just an honor to be able to introduce my father, Brother Alan Demos, and we want him to come at this time and minister to us.
And to think, we almost left him as an orphan at Tupelo at the age of 5. And what's worse is that for 9 months and 2 days, I was not too interested in having a third child in our family. I was terrible. And I went to the hospital there in northern Athens. And I, you know, had to pay my respects to my son, you know, kind of out of obligation, not out of love, right? Because I know my wife's going to ask me, oh, have you seen the new bambino? So I went to the nursery area, and behind the windows were all of these kids. And the Greeks, when they say your baby is so cute, they don't want the baby to get the evil eye. So they will literally spit or pretend that they're spitting to keep off the evil eye. So here in front of this glass is all this spit on the window. And all of these Greek kids have this big mop of dark hair. And I looked at Philip and I thought, he doesn't look so bad after all. I think I'll take him home. Praise God. I'm glad we did. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. I was going to name him Philip Andrew Demas, and then a little bit of pride got in, and I had to give him my first name as his middle name, which is the way the Greeks are supposed to do it. Anyhow, praise God. But thank you, Philip. Thank you, Pastor Grant. Thank you, Calvary Gospel, for the opportunity to be with you this evening, this morning. Thank you, Brother Rossing, for helping with the arrangements to make that possible, not only here, but at other churches in this section this week. Praise God. It's always good to be back in the state of Wisconsin. Amen. And this, of course, is certainly what we consider one of our home churches. Amen. One of our missionary friends says to me, Brother Demas, you've got more home districts than anybody I know. Amen. Well, I guess I may have more home churches too. Amen. And of course, Calvary Gospel, we have inherited through our kids. That's kind of reverse inheritance, I guess. This church as our home church. And it's good to see so many of you whom we know. Amen. And have to mention Sister Lori. Good to see her. She was over in Germany years ago, and then to see her husband at camp the other night, and giving honor to whom honor is due, Brother Russell and his wife. Amen. They came out east. That's what they say out there. They say this is out east, okay? And I'm from the Midwest. I think east is over in Pennsylvania someplace. But we appreciate them adding their ministry to this congregation and their faithfulness, and all of you. I was about ready to change my sermon when I heard all the songs tonight. Amen. I'm not going to do it because the notes for that sermon are somewhere over at the hotel or in my car in a briefcase. Amen. But I just want to challenge you to tune into those songs. Mary asked, "How shall this be?" And the angel says, "You don't need to worry about figuring out. Because with God, all things are possible." Nothing is impossible. I like the sign in the back of church in Manhattan, a Spanish church. I think they're borrowing an Anglo building. And in the back of the church it says, be realistic. Believe God for the impossible. Praise God. So whatever your impossibility is tonight, there's a God who'll help you cross the river. There's a God who'll help you go through the valley. And there's a God who will do all things well. How can we, as a young missionary couple, go into a country, start a work for God? It seems impossible. My great grandfather died. I didn't know the language. There was nobody in the country. My wife, myself, and our 4-year-old daughter, Laura. But I'm here to tell you, 38 years later, after we first stepped on foreign soil, God was with us, and God will be with you. Amen. The work that we began and that you began to support in 1985 is alive and well in Athens, Greece tonight. Amen. It was our privilege last summer to be at the UPC British Isles District Conference held in Wales. We were there for some missionary activities and came to the conference early. And there in that conference were three of our converts, three of our boys, licensed ministers with the UK district. Praise God. Brother John Blackmore, hash-smoking seaman, starting a church for God in the south coast of England. Amen. Then there was Brother Okala, who had been the head of the Nigerian Students Union. Amen. He received the Holy Ghost the first time he walked into our church. And here's the miracle. He's faithful today with his family 29 years later, starting a branch church for Bishop Francis there in East London. Praise God. And then there's Banji. You see, God loves to do things different than our little boxes made out of ticky-tack. For some of you folks who go back to Pete Seeger. Amen. Banji is a student from Nigeria. He comes to Greece, gets saved, studies the Bible with a number of our other young people, and today Banji is pastoring in Ireland. Figure that one out. And he met another Nigerian pastor in Ireland. And that whole church has come into the apostolic message. We thank God for that. Praise God, praise God. Praise God. In the last number of years in Germany, we've started three churches. Two of them are still alive and well, continuing. One of them in Bonn, we had to give up the building there, but we've got Bible study groups going in two different cities. We helped to start three other churches in the last several years. In fact, in the last 4 years alone, we've probably printed about 100,000 tracts and reprinted tracts. We reprinted Are You Really Living? We reprinted and revised Varum, Why, written originally by the brother S.R. Hanby. Amen. Why we should be baptized in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. And then for the good traditionalites, we printed a new tract, Who Can Forgive Sins? Amen. And then we took the title for one of the traditional churches, their motto for the year, and we printed a tract using that motto, Come Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're praying that the Holy Spirit will come on Germany. We need to go back and reprint the true joy. Amen. You see, Europeans don't want God in the title, Jesus or church. That's fine, but they're all looking for love, joy, and peace. And so that's what we put on the titles of our tracts, and that's part of our ministry. And then we're about ready to reprint, There's Only One God. Amen. That's part of our ministry as missionaries, printing, producing literature, helping to edit translations, and that's part of the work that you have supported. In the last 18 months, we did leadership training in our Paderborn church. Amen. Every Sunday afternoon, 10 to 12 people were there studying leadership from New Testament principles. As I mentioned today, two of our converts, amen, Germans from Russia, are now pastoring churches there in the state of North Rhine was fallen. And then last fall, the telephone rang, actually in the early summer. And the voice on the phone says, Pastor, Pastor, guten Tag, Pastor. And I thought, that's not a Filipino accent. That's for sure not a Greek accent. I said, Gloria a Dios, habla español. Oh, sí, sí. They were caught over the telephone. And Brother Seidel, God called me to Europe. God never called me to Latin America. I thank God for all of our missionaries in South America, Central America. But we're going to those hard-headed Germans and those crazy Greeks, praise God. But here were two ladies from the Dominican Republic hungry for God. And if I ever had any prejudice against Latinos, it went out the window real quick. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we baptized last fall those two sisters from Dominican. En la nombre de Jesus, praise God. And they both married to German husbands. Hallelujah. When we get back, amen, we're looking for Billy Pinghammer. And we pray for him to get saved. Amen. And those ladies to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And we'll continue at Bible study ministry when we get back to Germany to begin our next term. Hallelujah. In the last few years, we've done guest teaching, guest preaching, not only in Germany for our churches there, but in Belgium for Pastor Missionary Chula, in the Netherlands for Brother Tuttle, in the Czech Republic for Missionary Buckland, and on into Serbia to help him with Bible school ministry there. Last year, 15 months ago, we went to France. Amen. Here's a national work, but they're given to foreign missionaries. And when we were with them that Sunday, amen, they increased their foreign missions faith promise by over 40% in one Sunday. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. And last Christmas, we went down to Malta to help the Parkers with their new work there. Amen. And we're so wonderfully received. Amen. And as we go back to Germany, amen, that's going to be one of the things, many things we'll be doing. We'll continue the work on literature and continue to help out our local churches as they need it. But we'll continue to do evangelistic seminars and training seminars in various cities and various countries. And that's our project for the month, to help with national and international training seminars. Amen. To be a blessing to the work in a further capacity. And that's how some of your giving today is going to help us in the work of God. Amen. Before I bring you the Word of God tonight, I want my Wisconsin bred wife to come and just share with you what's on her heart. She's been a blessing to the work of God. Amen. I give her credit for our kids loving the Lord and working for the Lord. Amen. She did a great job raising them, and she's been a blessing to our saints as well.
Thank you, Brother Demas. Praise the Lord, everyone. I was just thinking, sitting in that pew, oh, how he loves you and me. I can see and feel the love of God in action in this church, and it makes my heart rejoice. I know of backsliders who have come back to God in just recent months, and it's just too wonderful for words. Amen? He is in the saving business, whether we've been found and then lost and found again, or whether we've been found for the first time, or whether we've been in this all of our lives. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of the body of Christ. Amen. And one of the things I've enjoyed so much being here on a full Sunday is having a chance to share with some of you more about your stories. When I say your stories, I mean the story of how you came to God. I just think it's a wonderfully exciting thing to hear and learn the patchwork of the body of Christ and how we've come in and blended together and who was where to be the one to bring the word that brought us these wonderful words of life and brought us into the body. I love those stories. And I think the stories of our lives as Christians are deeply often hidden in the bigger story of what God is doing in all of the earth. We are not isolated really at all, even when we feel alone, even when we feel separated, because we are part of that bigger picture that God is creating in all of the earth until he comes back to take the church home to be with him. And somehow I think that some of eternity is going to be spent in learning more about how it was and how it all happened for us. The complete picture will become very clear to us in the sweet by and by. We'll understand it all better by and by. All the sorrows, the grief, and all of the pain that we have suffered in this life will all make sense when we get there and we begin to see better the bigger picture of what God has been doing. And I feel like in this life, we have the opportunity, if we will take it, to expand our understanding of where we have come from in God. And this is something that I have become involved in more in the last year, and it has really broadened and blessed my life. And it began as a project that someone else envisioned, and it ended up in a book. And some of you know about this book. The title is simply The Church at Auroraville. And when I got involved in it, it was after the author, John Hart, had begun to compile some stories that he was learning about his background, his roots, things he never knew, and he's 76 years old. Never too late to learn, right? And so he began to collect pictures together and compile this information, and then he sort of hit a brick wall because he's not a writer, and he just didn't know how to bring it out into completion, and so he called me into action. I became his editor. I became his ghostwriter, so to speak, and the more that I got involved in this project and the more I learned about the history of my coming to God, the more blessed I was. It's a fantastic thing to review, and I know there's a lot of young people in this church, and I remember how I was when I was young. I was looking forward. I wasn't looking back. History's not all that important when you're young, you know? You're trying to develop your life and move forward, but I want to tell you that young or old, if you will get a knowledge of who paid the price that you could be saved, it will broaden your scope. It will increase your love and appreciation, and it'll spur you to be an evangelist like you've never been before. And so it was when I began to learn about this story. Even today, we were having lunch with Roy and Lois, your assistant pastor, and we were talking about the history of this church. And we had just learned not too long ago that this church in Madison, where you have been saved and where you are fed, was started by a layperson. This was a man who had a job, a good job, and he was moved here for his work, and he was a believer. There were no people here. And so he just began to share, just began to have studies in his home and began to open up the work in Madison as a lay person, and eventually called in a preacher from Ohio. And when this preacher came from Ohio, he brought some people with him to help him out, and some of those people were Demases. And so we were joking, and Brother Roy said, well, then I guess this means that we're related, you know, and that you helped to start this church. Well, it can sort of look that way once you start to learn these connecting things and how it is that God has worked. And so this church was established by the efforts of a lay person. And this book is largely about the ministry of lay people. Because it isn't only about the preachers. We need them. We cannot be saved except through the preaching, the foolishness of preaching. But you and I, all of us together, can be those preachers and those evangelists and those who share the word of God to bring others into this wonderful, wonderful body. So if you have any interest in history, if you want to even learn that you might be connected to what happened in Auroraville in the early 1900s, right here in Wisconsin, you'll want to buy the book and read about it because it is such a glorious thing to realize our connections. We are part of the body. We are not alone. And I thank God that we have been made partakers of this glorious thing called the body of Christ. Are you not also thankful? If so, let's just praise the Lord and thank Him for being part of the body. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Demas. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we want to turn to John chapter 4 for a starting place. All right, I'm sorry. Amen. I guess I will defer to eldership.
I want to take an offering for the Demases. 54% of all Wisconsinites claim to be German. Can you believe that? So if there is a missionary, that we should support, it should be a missionary going to Germany. Now, they have a special project for the month, and that is for their training seminars. If you feel that you can give something extra for these seminars, that is besides a good offering for them, please make sure that you denote it on your check. Now, make all checks payable to Calvary Gospel Church. If you give cash, put it in an envelope. And if you want to designate a certain amount of it to the training seminars, please do so. These people are very valuable people to United Pentecostal Church. No place needs revival more than Europe. I really mean that. Europe has not been an easy place, but these people have labored practically all of their lives there. And they've, through thick and thin, they've just kept on witnessing and they've just done such a tremendous work for the Lord. So we'd like for the ushers to come, and we want to take this special offering for Brother and Sister Demas. Both are just such qualified people, both Brother and Sister Demas. And they're certainly worthy of our support. Now, we do support them with the PIM support every month. But if you feel that you can give in addition to what you have been giving, let's say $10, $15, $20, $25, make sure that you put a note in the offering plate that I'd like to give an extra $25 or whatever. And we'll increase that PIM then. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, God, for what we have felt in our worship service, what we've already heard from the Demases. I pray, God, your blessings upon Brother and Sister Demas as they travel throughout the states. Then, of course, their destination is to go back to Germany and their labor for another 4 years. I pray, God, move upon them, bless them. But Lord Jesus, even though we can't all go with them, we can send money. And also, Lord Jesus, we can send our prayers. With our prayers and our support, Lord, they go forth. Let them feel that they are not alone in this endeavor. For this is the kingdom of God, and this is our work as well as theirs. And we want to sponsor it, support it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, God bless you as you've given this offering tonight.
Could everyone join me?
Praise God.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Can we all stand and sing this together again?
What a day that will be.
Pray that we'll be ready for his coming. Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. We do thank you for your giving, and we do thank this church for being one of our power partners in missions, not only the largest supporter in the state of Wisconsin, but one of our largest five supporters nationwide, and we do appreciate that so very much. We do not take that for granted or lightly. And as Brother Grant mentioned, we do need your prayers as well. We still have some of our bookmarks, amen, available. If you do not have one, if you have one from 5 years ago, it's the same one. But if it's worn out, we'll give you a new one. No cost. Just cost you some prayers. Praise God. And we thank you for your concern, for your love. And we appreciate your pastor so very much. It's hard to preach in front of someone like Pastor Grant. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes pastors have to be gone. They say, do you mind if I'm gone? I'm thinking, no, I'll preach better if you're not there. Praise God. Amen. But we want to look at John chapter 4. And I'm going to limit the reading to beginning with John 4, verse 34. Many of you know this chapter where Jesus went to Samaria. In fact, he said, I need to go through Samaria. And then by the time he comes down to verse 34, he said, my meat, what I want to do, my goal is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We're going back to Germany to finish some work. Amen. Say not ye, he used a parable they had, an expression, an idiom they have. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. And as we look at the corn in Wisconsin, you're not going to plant the corn one day and get the harvest next. It's going to take a little while, right? There are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you. And anytime Jesus says that, look out, he's trying to tell us something. Lift up your eyes. Who's he talking to? Not the woman, to the disciples, to the saints, to the believers. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you, verse 38, to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. I want to speak to you tonight for a short while on the subject, the coming harvest. The coming harvest. You may be seated. Praise God, praise God. I wonder how many of you here tonight were born in a foreign country. Would you stand? No, Texas doesn't count, not since they became a republic. Okay, now how many more of you, keep standing, how many more of you grew up in a home where your parents spoke a foreign language, at least between the two of them? Okay, so we're getting some more. We're getting some more folks who know what it means to be directly or indirectly an international. I forgot that my son Philip was born in Greece. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some people are born in hospitals. Philip was born in Greece. Praise God. Okay, you may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, how many of you tonight are not Caucasians? Would you stand? Okay, we got more in that category than we did in the international category. This is great. And I see some others not standing. Great. Don't be afraid to stand. Amen. You know, all right, this is a test. You know, usually you get a test after the teaching. Well, I'm giving you the test first. Okay, you may be seated. Now, how many of you are currently students at UW or Votech or one of the community colleges here in Dane County? Do we have any students? Active students. All right. Good number. Good number. Great. Great. Amen. And keep standing. Keep standing. And how many more of you were at one time in UW or campus ministry, amen, and maybe that's how you came to this church. Are there any other former students like Brother Knapp, amen, who have come into the church and were formerly students in the university or in a community college, something like that? Good. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Now that gives us a little survey of who we are. And the rest of us are white Anglo-Saxon, either Protestants or Catholics. Praise God. I'm talking to you about the coming harvest. Hallelujah. When God called Abraham, he called him out of his country, out of his family, to a new land that God was going to show him. And in the new land, God said, in this foreign land, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. That's why God is bringing people from around the world to America to bless them and bring them to apostolic truth, because maybe they couldn't find it back home. Praise God. And I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I'll bless them that bless you. Curse him that curses you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We're brand new missionaries in Greece, and I'm going down this street, which becomes smaller, 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 behind the Alpha Vita grocery store, and I'm trying to get out of there, and all of a sudden this Greek guy comes in his old 54 Mercedes, 54 Mercury, and I'm trying to say stop in Greece, and I don't know how to say stop in Greek. Haven't been to language class yet. I don't know that it's stamatisite. I didn't know the stop signs in Greece say stop. But I don't think he'd have known if I said stop. And the next thing I know, this guy just goes through this little area and he scratches the bumper of my car, the side of my car. I got this terrible scratch. And I'm trying to get the insurance information off this guy. And I don't speak Greek and he doesn't speak English. And I call the insurance company. They finally come out. And they say, you know what happened? I got bad news. The guy just died. You're not going to get nothing from his insurance company to fix your car. And my carnal self said, see, that's what happened when you mess with missionaries. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know if Abraham ever felt that way or not. But through Abraham, Israel became God's chosen people. Amen. But actually, Abraham was God's chosen man. God has chosen men in this assembly and women in this assembly for a high and holy calling. God has chosen some of you for things you haven't dreamt yet. You haven't seen a vision yet. Amen. You haven't begun to enter your ministry yet. Amen. And not because you had to be a Levite at the age of 30. You just haven't gotten there yet. Amen. Maybe you've been holding off on God. Maybe God just hasn't revealed the time. He's developing patience in you. But before God called Abraham, before Israel was promised the blessings of the land and the blessings of this verse, God was a God of the nations. God created the heaven and the earth. When Enoch walked with God, he wasn't Jewish. When Methuselah lived 969 years, he wasn't Jewish. When Noah worked and preached for God for 120 years, building a boat trying to reach a world of sin, he was not Jewish. Amen. When Noah received the covenant of God, amen, like Abraham did, amen, they were not Jewish. God was a God of the nations before he ever became a God of the Jews. And don't ever forget that. Before God found us, God was reaching out to somebody else. Praise God. We had the covenant of God. We have the oracles of God today. Amen. But you've heard the testimonies about old-time Methodist camp meetings, both here in Wisconsin and in Texas, where they had the cooling benches. Why? Because they had so much power of God and so much of the Spirit of God. They were doing then exactly what we're doing today. Amen. And I read an article from the early, mid-1800s where the Methodist grandmother of my aunt received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They didn't always know what it was, but they had an experience with God. Amen. And God has now brought that to us. But somebody else was chosen by God before it came to us. God is a God of the nations. That one God was trying to show His truth. He tried to show a pattern of worship. He showed a means of forgiveness. He wanted the Jews to reach the lost. He wanted the Jews to tell the lost. He wanted them to bring the one true God message to a polytheistic, amen, world, amen, that was imagining God was like men or like women or like beetles down in Egypt, amen, or like bulls. I got into bullology in Greece a little bit. Because in Greece, they used to recognize the bull down in Crete. The bulls in Spain, the running of the bulls. As we talked with missionaries from Spain, we realized there was a challenge there. And I wondered, what is the background of that? And then I began to realize it goes back to old polytheism. And one day as the moon was rising over the hills in Germany where we lived, I saw the sliver of the moon not on its side, not on its other side, but directly from the base. And I realized that sliver of the moon looks exactly like the horns of the bull. And that's why so many pagan ancient religions worshipped the bulls and worshipped the moon. And God came to break up that idolatry and paganism with a knowledge of the one true God who you could not see yet, but who would someday reveal Himself to mankind. And He needed a people to bring that message of the truth of monotheism. But God was not just concerned with Abraham's descendants, either on one side or another. He told the Jews, "Love ye the stranger." Well, I love my family. I love my son. I love my son Joel. I love my daughter. I even love, amen, our adopted three grandsons in Tennessee. Amen. We're trying to teach them not to talk Tennessee, okay? I love that. I love my friends. We love Pastor Grant. We love y'all here. But to love the stranger that we don't know, well, that's against the flesh. That's hard to do. But that's exactly what Jesus wanted the Jews to do. And that's exactly what He wants to do. Love will precede a revelation of truth. Love will precede a testimony. Love will open the bridge to an opportunity to tell them about who Jesus really is. Israel was to be a light. Israel was to be an oracle. Israel was not the end of God's plan, but they were to be the means of God's plan. And God has brought that responsibility to us. And yet one of the most Jewish kings of Israel somehow had a revelation that God is not just for the Jews. Amen. King David, amen, wrote in many of his psalms about that concept. He said, "Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who will dwell in your holy hill?" Not we Jewish folks. Not we sons of Abraham. He said it's really simple. Just whoever will walk uprightly, whoever will work righteous, whoever will speak truth in the heart, they're going to walk up the holy hill of God. They're going to be the sons of God and the daughters of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. What David wrote prophetically about the Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 22. Amen. With the prophecies of the cross that are there. Amen. He interjects all of this Gentile, international revival that takes place. Amen. He says in Psalm 22, amen, and verse 22, speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ, I will declare my name to thy brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. Okay, Jesus came to the Jews first, but it's not going to stop there. Verse 25 says, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. We're going outside the house of Judah. We're going outside the camp of Abraham. We're going to reach the whole wide world. And in verse 27, David wrote, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. I'm talking to you about a God of the nations, a God who loves you. And it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who your father was. It doesn't matter who your grandfather was. Amen. Because God is going to reach the world through the truth, amen, that he gives to us. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. I will be, he said in prophecy, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in all the earth. Now, where did David get this Gentile, non-Jewish concept from? He's the second king of Israel. He's a father of all the kings from that day until the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Where did David get this concept? I think he heard the stories that his great-grandmother was named Ruth, a Gentile from Moab. She shouldn't have ever been saved. But when she was obedient to Orpah, when she went with Orpah, when she said, your God will be my God, your people will be my people, I'll eat your food, I'll learn your language, amen. God says, I'm not going to leave that woman outside of the camp of Israel. I'm going to adopt her in. She's not here by blood, but she's here by spirit. Praise God, praise God. And it wasn't just Ruth, because David's great-great-grandmother was Rahab. Rahab, she's not only a Gentile, she's a member of the oldest profession in the world. She had no right, based upon law and order, to be in the house of God. But when God saw her faith, when God saw her willing to spare these spies from Israel, God says, I'm going to give this lady a chance, amen, and we're going to give her a red cord, and she's going to believe in the red blood of Jesus Christ that's going to come down 2,000 years later. David was a son of Gentile grandmas. See, it doesn't matter who your father is, who your mother is. God has no grandchildren. See, my great-grandfather was a bigamist. I heard the rumor. He left his first wife in Madison, Indiana, and married a German named Carolyn Schmelzfenning. I went to Kentucky and found the record where he married Carolyn Schmelzfenning. And then in Madison, Indiana, in the library, I found the record of his first wife and two kids who he never divorced. Thank you, Jesus, I can get saved. Doesn't matter what grandpa did or great-grandpa did. Praise God. Amen. We can become the children of God. Praise God. Praise God. 1,000 years later, after King David, a son of David came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. He had to go down to Egypt to identify with those Gentiles. Amen. He came as the Lamb of God, not just for the nation of Israel, but the Lamb of God for the whole wide world. As he began his ministry, he said, gotta start out slow. I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And, of course, that offended the Pharisees because they said, well, who you say is lost? We are Jewish. Abraham is our father. And then he says, before Abraham was, I am. Well, who do you think you are, you young whippersnapper? And then he told his disciples, not the Pharisees, He says, you know, I'm the shepherd. I'm the door to the sheepfold. Oh, by the way, now I think you're ready to tell you, I've got some other sheep. Other sheep? You mean non-Jewish sheep? You mean people whose grandpa was not Abraham? People who don't look like us? People who don't talk like us? People that we don't talk to normally, like in the woman in Samaria? Jesus began to reveal himself little by little to his disciples that his gospel wasn't just for the in crowd. It wasn't just for the society folks. It wasn't just for the religious folks. It was a good news that was going to reach to the mountaintops. It's going to go to the city streets. It's going to reach everybody in this world, no matter who they are or where they come from or what their background is, praise God. And if they didn't get it during 3 years of his teaching and preaching and ministry and examples, at the end of his ministry, after his death and after his burial, before his resurrection, then he finally let it all out. He said, I want you to go not just to Bethlehem, not just to Jerusalem, not just to Nazareth, not just to Capernaum. I want you to go to all the world. I want you to go to all the nations. I want you to go to every creature. I want you to tell everybody you can tell. Amen. And his apostles turned the world upside down because they obeyed the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to go, 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 go and preach, go and teach, go and baptize, go in faith and bring people to faith. And the last words Jesus ever said, the last words he ever said is that when you stay here in Jerusalem, you're going to receive power. Through and after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and then you, me, you, him, her, all of us, you shall be witnesses. Not just to your family, not just to your loved ones, not just to your friends, but to people who speak English with a funny accent, to people who don't look like you. Amen. To people who don't like walk like you. To people who come from all kinds of cultural backgrounds that you don't understand. But you're going to be witnesses among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then we're going to go to Judea. And then we're going to go to Samaria. And then we're going to go to the end of the world. What did Jesus envision? Jesus envisioned a great end time international world revival. Praise God. And here we are in Madison. Amen. And the state has brought to you tens of thousands of people. Amen. When we attended Fiona's graduation for dental hygiene, I was amazed at the number of international students there in the Madison College there that was there. They're coming from all kinds of nations. I didn't even know that existed, but they found out in Pakistan or Bangladesh or Saudi Arabia. They found out there's a school here. Others know about UW, praise God. Amen. And they have come here seeking fame, seeking fortune, seeking education. But God's got other plans for them. And God's got something for them. And we are the oracles of God. We are the means of reaching them. We are the ones, amen, that he has given the promise to and the power to. And we have the responsibility to tell them because they couldn't hear it in some of their home countries. If they go back, they won't hear it again. But we can reach them for the coming international revival. Amen. What kind of revival do you want, Jesus? It's a whosoever will revival. Whosoever will may come. We don't check your ID at the door. Don't check your record at the door. Amen. Don't ask for your genealogy. Don't ask for your bank account. Don't ask for your education. Just whosoever will may come. It's a room at the cross revival. There's room at the cross for you. Amen. If we run out of room at the front part of the altar, amen, we'll bring you to the back part of the altar. We'll make the whole church an altar. We'll let people pray wherever they are and reach out to God, and God will fill them back there just like he will right here. It's a revival without national barrier, without color barrier, without social barriers, without financial barriers. Amen. It's a revival for everyone. And Jesus gave the example of the man who sent out invitations to family and friends. And you know what? They made all of their excuses. I'm busy. Just got married. Just got a new pair of oxen. Amen. I'm building a new garage on my house. People are still making the same excuses today. Praise God. And the servants came back to the man and says, sorry, all your friends, all your relatives, most of them, they say they're too busy. And the man says, I want my house full. And my friends won't come. If my family won't come, you go out to the highways and you go to the byways. And don't just bring the good folks. You bring the good and the bad. I'll take whoever we can get that my house will be full. Amen. Because we're going to have a wedding. We're going to have a marriage of the bride. And the Lord wants His house full. Amen. And the Lord is saying to us, He'll take anyone who's willing to walk through the doors of a church, who's willing to walk to an altar and repent, who's willing to come to a watery grave of baptism, to anybody who will say, Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, praise God. God is going to have an end-time world revival, praise God. Pentecost began with the wings of fire and the flames of fire, but it wasn't just for the Jews. That was just the starting point. Amen. By the time they got done receiving the Holy Ghost, they were speaking in 13 different languages or 16, and more people began to come who came from all those nations. And Peter says, this promise is for you. It's for your children. It's for all that are afar off. But religious Peter couldn't even figure out what he was saying. And so when he gets the vision and God starts knocking on his door and said, I got some folks up in Caesarea. Did you know, Philip, that our international church in Athens, Greece, began on Caesarea Street? That's the name of the street where God opened the doors of international revival to Cornelius and his household. Amen. And Cornelius goes there against his flesh, against his thinking. But God has spoken to him. The people have come. He can't disappoint him. He goes up there and he sees people hungry for God, ready to hear the word of God. He says, now I get it. Now I get it. God is no respecter of persons, but God is willing where anyone will have faith. God is going to reach out to them. Amen. And we must be the means. We must be the hands. We must be the feet. And we must be the laborers to go and reach people in this end time revival. Because God is looking for a people who are someday going to come sweeping through the pearly gates. Amen. And they're going to come from every tribe. They're going to come from every nation. They're going to come from every tongue, every people. God is looking for an international city called the New Jerusalem. And He's going to have a worldwide end time international revival. But you maybe don't even have to go to the ends of the world. God will bring them here. Amen. And God will use you. And God is already using this church. And God is going to increase the ministry of this church for the end time international revival that God wants. But what are you going to do about it? It's real simple. Listen for the accent. Look for the people who don't look like they're Wisconsin Germans or Minnesota Scandahoovians. And let them know the door's open. And we're going to have a full house, no matter who they are. Because God so loved the world that He gave. And God so loved the world that He wants to give us to be His hands and to be His feet. Amen. Folks, we're going to have revival. We are having revival. You are having revival. But before the Lord comes, you better be prepared for the international revival that's coming your way to Madison. God's got a harvest coming. And when God sends his harvest, amen, it may not look like how you got into the church, but God's going to have a people washed in his blood. Amen. Identify with his name and filled with his spirit. Let's stand. Amen. And I don't know you tonight, but if you need this Jesus, if you want to know the one true God, we've got a place to meet you. We got a place to pray with you. And if you're in the flock, if you're in the fold, if you're in the church, what are you going to do with God's burden that he's given to us? Amen. To reach his people. Shall we reach out to the Lord right now in Jesus' name? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, give us a burden. Oh God, set us aflame. Oh God, help us to reach the lost. Give us a witness. Give us a testimony. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Anoint us with the Holy Ghost. Give us the words, Lord. Oh God, we've got the message. We don't need to learn a different message. There's only one message. But oh God, we got to take it to the city streets. We got to take it to everyone that we meet. We got to tell them that Jesus is coming. And he's coming to their lives, to their homes, to their families. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. He showed up. Oh God, hallelujah. The Lord's waiting for you right now. The Lord's waiting for you. Amen. Why don't you come and meet him today? Why don't you come and serve him today? Come and commit to do a work for him today. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah.
Sing a new song to him who sits
on
heaven's mercy seat.
Hallelujah. Meet the Lord tonight. Meet the Lord tonight wherever you are. Hallelujah. He wants to know you. Hallelujah. He died for you. Hallelujah. You can trust the man on the cross. Hallelujah. Oh God, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let this comfort zone that we can enter his streets of gold.